Welcome to ConsciousParents.org. This is an excerpt from an interview we did with Dr. Linda Folden Palmer, author of The Baby Bond.
We've all seen the recent anti-co-sleeping ad campaign that's going on, and bloggers and people on the internet have been spreading that like wildfire.
I know. It's incredible. I guess on the good side of the campaigns, they are carrying them out chiefly in the areas where the message might be a little bit more important. We have where there are populations where people are more prone to be using drugs and alcohol and partying and that kind of thing. Then, you know, they come home, they're too tired to do what they usually do, you know, and they just pass out on the couch with the baby and something goes bad. And, you know, I think they use that as an excuse to, in the overall picture, to pick on co-sleeping because it's not profitable for the crib industry and, you know, the other bigger reasons. But, you could find some altruism in those messages because they're chiefly targeted in populations where that kind of co-sleeping risk is a little bigger. When I do the math, just to give it a comparison, it's not as big as the number of deaths per year from circumcision, if you just want to do a little interesting math there. For the most part, I don't care for the ads at all because it is very misleading. And, you know, it used to be called crib death. It wasn't just called sudden death or, you know, and it used to be called crib death. And that's because most kids were sleeping in cribs and kids were getting entangled in the bars and wedged and all these things were going on, you know. But they didn't throw out the baby. They fixed the cribs and they made them safer and they spread messages.
Right.
And so the same thing needs to be done with, you know, natural co-sleeping is, you know, not to throw out the baby. But, you know, I think that, you know, in our industrialized world, you know, to just jump in and do this and not to have been raised with this all around us, you know, we don't maybe know some of the little things that we should know. And, you know, adult beds are not designed to be perfect, you know, natural, co-sleeping, safe environments. And so, you know, I think that the message should be what is safe, co-sleeping, and what is not, you know, rather than just this blatant, you know, you co-sleep with your baby, you may as well take a big knife and,
They're very shocking images, but that's an interesting way to, you know, look at it, is try to, again, look at probably the good intention behind it, but also, you know, just what could be different about it. In terms of the co-sleeping, my understanding is, and I don't know where I got this from, is that a lot of cultures around the world are a lot more open to the concept of the family bed and co-sleeping a lot longer than we are here in the United States.
Absolutely, and it's not so much to being open to it. It's more that a lot of cultures around the world have not yet lost their natural, you know, sleeping behaviors.
Interesting.
Because certainly, you know, all through time they didn't, you know, stick baby in another cave and then, you know, every time they cry you go in there and get a mastodon and plug them on and, you know, it just wasn't that way.
Survival.
And you could see. But at the same time, you know, if you look around at natural cultures that haven't been too paired by industrialized, you know, ideals, and then you can see that they don't have, you know, that they usually are sleeping on the floor or, you know, they just basically have situations that are just naturally more safe and comfortable. And, you know, mammals all around the world, that's what they do, you know, they co-sleep.
So in terms of the health benefits, what are the, you know, kind of key benefits that you found in your research about co-sleeping?
Yes, early researchers found out about how attachment parenting, though they didn't use that term back then, kind of practices created, you know, more secure infants and, you know, and calmer and more bonded and better behaved teenagers and better adult health. But then just in the last 10, 15, 20 years, then researchers have been reproving these things biochemically. And, you know, I guess we need to have this kind of proof. And so they can show where there are you know, more neurons established in the brains of babies and even in the parents in pathways that end up providing better heart health and better mental health. It's really, you know, mm-hmm. pretty astonishing when you get down to how far. And certainly just the epidemiology, the straight statistics about co-sleeping and the safety of it and the benefits, you know, and where we have the, if you pull out the impromptu co-sleeping, those are a lot of the deaths. You know, maybe the baby was crying and they were already sick and they brought them to bed. They didn't know what else to do with them. And then the baby, you know, and then right. they just say, oh, well, you must roll on them or something. You right. know, and or the impromptu because someone was drugged or drunk. You right. know, the impromptu is really largely responsible for a big number of the reported co-sleeping deaths. Mm. But, you know, when you take out all of those danger factors and sleeping on a sofa where a baby gets wedged in, you know, these, then the, you know, the numbers just show the benefit or the safety, and then the psychological studies show the benefit mm-hmm. as well as the newer biochemical studies.
To hear more of this conversation with Dr. Palmer and to find out more about conscious parenting, please visit consciousparents.org.